For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Let's go around the NFL in the loop style. Here's John Lopez and Reginald Adetula.
Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
On Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Football. Preseason football continues. It happened yesterday as well, a couple of games, and one of those involved a division rival of the Texans, the Indianapolis Colts. And so we got another chance to see, for the second time, I believe, in this preseason, Anthony Richardson go. And that's going to matter a lot. The Colts quarterback played just over a quarter, if I remember correctly. He hasn't seen a lot of high-level football just generally. And so he had a kind of an up-and-down game, a little bit of an uneven game after a hot start. In a 27-14 victory over the Bengals. Within that, like, I think he had a really good first drive.
Yeah, was he 6 out of 7 or something?
That's right. Yeah. But he also had, like, a pick six and some other, you know, kind of dicey plays.
I think he went, like, 1 for 8 or something.
It felt like you got the entirety of the Anthony Richardson experience in one fell swoop in a very quick preseason game feeling. He looks like he is getting ready, and that's the first opponent for your Texans. I don't know. Did you watch the game at all? Did you get eyes on it a little bit?
Most of the highlights. I was flipping around a lot. One of those flip arounds I'm going to get to during confessions, which is wild. But
ultimately, he was 8 for 14, 86 yards, a touchdown, and an interception.
Yeah, he might have been 5 for 6 in that early drive, but they scored a touchdown and all that. So I was watching here and there, and then I saw the highlights. And the Anthony Richardson experience, you put it perfectly. That's what you get. That's what you get. It's not exactly discouraging if you're a Texans fan. Like you guys know, I've never really been super high on Anthony Richardson, but boy, you know, he was making me eat my words for 4 games last year. Certainly one against the Texans, but I think that's what he's going to be. I'm like you. I have a ton of confidence in Shane Steichen. I love that dude.
Yeah, he's real good.
I shouldn't, you know, obviously he's a Colts coach, but he's really, really good. If he can't fix Anthony Richardson and get him more consistent, can anyone?
Yeah, that is a quarterback's play caller. Like he does a great job putting a quarterback in good position. Kirk Herbstreit has questions as to which quarterback he'll be putting in position, though.
What if he struggles? What if he has a good drive or a good game and then a bad game, a good game and a bad game? He's a pick. Everybody's kind of expecting him to be the guy. You got a guy like Joe Flacco with the roster they have. I just wonder how you handle that if it goes down that path, if you're Shane Steichen, because you know what you're going to get in Joe Flacco. Again, we're all hoping to see him have a monster year and lead this team to great things, but that's the big thought. I think even if you're a Colts fan, you're hoping to see Anthony Richardson be this guy that can run this offense that Jalen Hurts ran 2 years ago in Philly, and he's running zone read and he's making plays. But if it's inconsistent, how long do you go until you start to maybe have that kind of discussion?
I like the football noise in the background too, man.
He was on the broadcast.
Yeah, I know.
The Amazon Prime.
Dude, there's
night.
A lot there in there.
Yeah, and I immediately was like, oh yeah, definitely. If you forgot, Kirk Herbstreit is like moonlighting, or he's like doing both, where he's in the NFL, but he's still a college football guy, and he definitely watched Anthony Richardson in Florida. There you go, because I very much heard a dude who had like PTSD from watching that man in Florida, knowing this dude is super up and down. I think it's a funny question to ask, though. Like, what happens if he plays poorly? You keep playing him, right? Like, that is why I've frequently referred to Anthony Richardson as the type of dude that gets somebody fired.
Yeah.
Like, that is the kind of player he is. He just has so much upside, the big arm, the athleticism, all of those things. Even, like, he also seems to be, like, a dude with his head on the shoulder straight.
Yeah.
Like, he seems to have that pretty well. And so all of those things. And so as a decision maker, you got to be like, we got to give it a shot. But he is so wildly inconsistent, and that you knew what you were getting coming in. So the idea of if he's inconsistent, well, yeah, you knew that coming in. I imagine that you go with it. I would, you know what? I imagine there'd be a lot of people around these parts.
I really don't.
You don't?
Dude, we're in the third week of August, and they're talking about starting Joe Flacco.
Well, like, Herb Street's talking about starting Joe Flacco.
I know, and that's a national broadcast. On a national broadcast, after the dude looked so good early and then erratic, that, and the other, who was the who else was on the broadcast there with Herb Street?
Al Michaels.
No, but it wasn't Al talk. Maybe it wasn't. I didn't hear it. But he said, we all believe, look, he goes, look, we all believe he's going to be great. No, we don't. who's in, you got a frog in your pocket?
That's the fiery part. Like, that is the fiery part.
He goes, look, we all believe he's going to be great. No, we don't.
Yeah, to me, Kurt bringing it up to me show you he don't really trust dude like that, because he wouldn't have brung it up.
Right. And I mean, look, we saw what, four games last year where you saw, like, generally the upside. But again, it's the consistency with him that ends up being the issue. So it'll be interesting to see. And look, it's kind of, you saw the inconsistency in this game. I imagine that you saw, I mean, well, you also saw an pick six.
Yeah. Daniel Jones-like, by the way.
There you go.
Very Daniel Jones-like.
You're connecting dots here. Yeah. I think that this is an opportunity for this Texans defense. We're talking about how they could become elite. Yeah. That could be a nice jump start on it in week one of the season. You got a dude who's inconsistent that might throw it up for you.
Yeah.
You got to go and grab those and maybe have an opportunity to start and establish your season on a high note once you get them September 8th, correct?
Mm-hmm. So, it's going to be ongoing. Unless he comes out gangbusters, it's going to be ongoing with him. No doubt about it. Absolutely no doubt.
Elsewhere on that broadcast, you made note of this because Al Michaels, he is the broadcaster for Prime Video's Thursday Night Football. He's play-by-play. And one of the things about Al Michaels when he's been doing this Thursday Night Football is, you know, sometimes he doesn't sound like he has the same vigor as you would imagine.
He's not plugged
that he'd
in.
Want. Right, and he might be in midseason form in that way.
Clean pocket, but it's picked off. Jordan Battle, right there, touchdown.
I love Al Michaels.
Yes, he sounded a little hype right there.
He did sound hype,
but the guy was already walking back to the bench when he said touchdown. Like he was like, oh. I think Al Michaels and Brent Musburger were at the very, very, very top of their games for a long, long time. So it's not like disrespecting their careers, but he gets bored pretty easily now. He gets bored pretty easily. But I'll give him grace on this.
Okay.
Preseason game. I'll give him a little grace since it was a preseason game. Let's see how it plays out in the regular.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
Regular season.
Okay. Yeah. And you know what? I do wonder if this is even a thing where once you have a narrative on it that, like, we know Al Michaels ends up sounding a little bit detached from the game at times or what have you.
Yeah.
That now we're, like, looking for it.
Could be.
In some ways.
Maybe
it could
I
be
was.
That. But yeah. Look, getting back to that feeling, right? That feeling of regular season football, and we're close, and Al Michaels is there as well. Hopefully he has fun with it.
Yeah.
It doesn't help that Thursday night football is frequently some games that are
some of the worst games.
Yeah, not great. In part just because of the scheduling, mate. Man, you're playing oftentimes at least one of these teams on a 4-day week. Like that's
but it
tough.
Isn't exactly headliners all the time either.
That is also true.
Yeah.
Some other news from around the NFL. Dennis Allen, head coach of the Saints.
Mm-hmm.
And look, the Saints fans that listen are probably sick, are going to be sick of me by the time the season is over, the way that I talk about the Saints and Dennis Allen in particular. But apparently, with the versatile weapon that they have in Taysom Hill, Dennis Allen said that he is considered deploying Taysom Hill on defense.
Come on, man.
He said he'd play him as linebacker.
Sure. Why not?
Sure, why not? He's doing everything else.
Because it's defense. That's why not. Like, he's just a man without a country, man.
What does Taysom Hill have on these people?
I don't know. That's a great point. Yeah. Like, super athlete. Unbelievable college player.
Absolutely.
Had his moment.
I remember that one time he got Manny Diaz fired at Texas.
He sure did.
Yeah.
But is he a quarterback? Not really. Is he a receiver? Maybe sometimes. Is he a running
tight
back?
End,
no.
Kind of.
Tight
maybe.
End. Fullback.
I know. If he's not any of that, let's put him at linebacker. What could possibly go wrong?
He's actually a Swiss Army knife and like... I kind of hate the way that people use the phrase a Swiss Army knife because mm-hmm. they use it to mean he can do a lot of things. But one of the things that we forget about the Swiss Army knife is, yes, it does have the little scissors and it has the knife and it has the file and it has. But none of those things are actually good.
No.
Right. All of those things are just like poor facsimiles of the real thing that you want. Right. If you want to get scissors, you would go get scissors before you would take out your Swiss Army
Absolutely.
Knife and try and cut something.
That's a good point.
It's not a good way of doing it. Taysom Hill is that. Right.
I
he does a whole bunch of things. Is he great at them?
Not really. That's exactly. He's like legitimately the definition of that. You know, my thing with Swiss Army knives, you got me thinking about it. I don't know why. Like, all these people have these, like, because they come in different versions. Like, some of them have like 17 different things on the Swiss Army knife. Some have 5. And I'm always thinking the same thing. All you ever do is use the little knife. You got all this stuff that you never use.
Or you use it to open a beer or something.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's it. That's my hot Swiss Army knife take right there. But yeah, he couldn't possibly excel on defense.
Also, one thing to remember, Taysom Hill, 33 years of age.
That too.
That's fun.
Good time to learn a new position.
That's right.
Yeah.
I mean, look, always be learning, right? Like you always want to grow and develop as a human being. So you know what?
Yeah.
I would like to see Taysom Hill play Sam.
He probably in that locker room. I'm just here to serve. Whatever you want me to do, just here to serve.
You know, like he is Mormon, like mission trips and those mm-hmm. types of things are a part of the ethos of the religion. So maybe that's the way that he views it for sure.
Yeah.
Kansas City Chiefs doling out some money as well as mm-hmm. heading up to the season. Teams are making sure that their guys are taking care of the Chiefs are the next iteration of that as Creed Humphrey, widely regarded as one of the better centers in this league. He becomes the highest paid center in NFL history by agreeing to a 4-year contract extension. Worth $72 million, $50 million on the guarantees.
Yep.
So, look, congratulations to him. He's earned it for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easy to think about the fact that they're able to do things like this in part because they got their quarterback on such an advantageous deal.
Yeah.
I imagine there's got to be people that are just mother bleeping Patrick Mahomes all the damn time for taking that particular contract, including the PA.
That's how you do it, though.
PA.
That's how you become the Chiefs. I say this ad nauseum a lot of times when people start complaining about the cap this and the cap that. You've heard me say it before. There are people in that building, in every building in the NFL, whose entire job, whose only job, is to figure out the cap, make it work. I often believe that the whole salary cap hell that people talk about is vastly overstated. And the Kansas City Chiefs are the perfect example of that. They just paid, on top of everything else, Reggie, they paid a center $50 million in guarantees. And they're the Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes. So anytime
they paid somebody... Chris Jones.
Yeah, and Chris Jones.
A lot of
go
people.
Down the list.
Yeah.
And that's why I always say, whenever someone says, oh, they're going to be in cap hell, I'm like, okay, figure it out. The Chiefs have figured it out. The Patriots have figured it out in the past. Hell, even the Texans have figured it out back in the day. Remember Andre taking those new contracts and all this other stuff and Schaub taking redoing his contract? I am not a big fan of, well, they're in cap hell. They can't do anything. To me, that's an excuse. To me, the Buffalo Bills are using excuses.
If you can be creative enough,
yes.
I mean, and look, you're going to have to take your lumps at times. And with the Kansas City Chiefs example that you just brought up, we can't forget that
they've cut bait.
Yeah, they sent one of the better, in fact, a lot of people regard him as, top 3, top 5 at the mm-hmm. very least, and, you know, for argument's sake, wide receivers away in order to facilitate continuing.
But they didn't fall off the planet.
They sure did.
And see, that's why they decided to do that. They probably felt like we could still win the Super Bowl without Tyreek Hill. If they felt like they couldn't, they would have found the way.
And they did. It was wildly up and down wide receiver play that they got, but they managed to do that as well. And shout out to the text line to the 713, who combating a little bit of my Swiss Army knife take. They said they have four blades on their Swiss Army knife, and they use them all of the time. They're good tools that they can carry in their pocket. End of sentence. All right, shout out to you.
Shout out to you, color me skeptical. How much do you use those little tiny scissors? What do you cut with those scissors? Like, you know, or the little Phillips head screwdriver.
Cutting down on my patience is what you're cutting.
The little Phillips, it almost bends when you try to use it. Look, if you figured out the way to do it, power to you. But I'm a little skeptical.
Real quick, before we go, when it comes to around the NFL, the Eagles and the Commanders in division linked up on a trade. Commanders sent their 2022 first round pick, Jahan Dotson.
Yeah.
As well as a fifth round pick next season to the Eagles, and they got back a third round pick and 2 7th round picks from this upcoming draft, next season as well. I found that to be interesting because Jahan Dotson is one of those names that I absolutely bring up when I talk about the fact that the Commanders have a nice little wide receiving core, but the Eagles go and add him to their, you know, already nice two-headed monster wide receiver-wise of A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. Like, what caught your attention about this trade?
I had a question, and I got a question for you and Figgy. Would you rather have Jahan Dotson, A.J. Brown, and Devontae Smith, or Tank Dell, Nico Collins, and Stephon Diggs? Be objective as possible.
The profile of players that the Eagles have, when you talk about A.J. Brown and like the strength and all those things, Devontae Smith, Jahan Dotson is a nice addition. I think I might still lean towards where the Texans are. But I might, because it feels like you just have three dudes that are really versatile that can do all sorts of different things, and that versatility ends up being useful. Mm-hmm. And that might be a matter of preference because they're both good, the trios.
Yeah, I'm going to lean towards the Texans too. And I took my Texans goggles off.
Yeah.
I just think, honestly, I think if the Eagles had those three weapons in Philly, I think they'd be talking about Super Bowl, man. I think they'd be more, you know, on the screens talking about these receivers rather than the ones they got now.
I'm totally with you both. And I think where this takes us is Texans might have the best receiving core in the entire NFL. Entire NFL.
ESPN does.
Because they've been talking about these three dudes. Mm-hmm. Oh, does that make them the best? Does that make them the best? A lot of people are like, nah, man. look what they got down in Houston.
Right.
And I'm with you.
Yeah, because when you look at Nico Collins, he had a great year last year.
Yes.
And he got paid. You bring in Stephon Diggs. Everybody know what he can do. Mm-hmm. And then Tank Dell was having a great season last year until he got hurt.
Absolutely.
And people talking about that's the third receiver.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
So the Texans have, we're in agreement, they have the best receiving core.
All of these guys could be number ones wherever they go.
Yeah.
I agree that this is the best wide receiving duo, or trio rather, when it comes to starters. And like I was mentioning, ESPN does a exercise every year going into season and ranks all the position groups. Wide receiver, Houston Texans come in at number one. So, I mean, this is not something that's wildly out there. There's other folks that agree with that as well. So, there you go.
I'm with you.
Shout out to the Texans wide receiving core. And I guess best of luck to the Eagles in that regard. they've got bigger fish to fry, though. It's not the talent that they had issues with last year. It was play calling and those types of things. And we'll see if they got those things figured out.
Yeah.
You're in the loop. Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, and myself, Reginald Datatula. Coming up next, Nick Caserio was on Pat McAfee yesterday. Was interested in a few things that he said. We'll discuss those next.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.